AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. Welcome to Your Health, a locally produced healthcare program with the folks over at CentraCare. Very important because it is locally produced. We have healthcare experts that live right here. And I think that's pretty important because they are familiar with the very same health issues that you deal with here in St. Cloud and central Minnesota. Today, we are going to be talking about tobacco. Nicole Zink is a tobacco treatment specialist. Megan Bone, the tobacco program manager with Population Health. Ladies, welcome. It's great to have you in studio with us today.
Hello.
Thank you.
Yes, tell me about what it is that you do. What does a tobacco treatment specialist and tobacco program manager with Population Health? That's a big mouthful. Let's start with you, Megan. What does that mean?
My role is specifically to kind of integrate tobacco treatment into CentraCare Health. Okay. So how do we provide resources to our patients to better support them in quitting tobacco use is pretty much the role of my job.
And a tobacco treatment specialist?
My role is to help smokers become non-smokers.
All right, ladies, how's business?
You know, it's actually been pretty good.
Yeah, it's been steady, hasn't it?
It has been steady. You know, in the state of Minnesota, we have about a 13.8% tobacco use rate. But in the CentraCare service area, we have about a 19% tobacco use rate. So as many patients as we can get in to see our tobacco treatment specialist, the better that we know our long-term health outcomes are going to be for our communities at large. Tobacco and nicotine itself is highly addictive. And so kind of you try it once and you get sucked in for life is kind of that thing that rings true. And so it is a hard thing. It becomes a part of who you are and a part of your life. And it's a hard habit to break.
It truly is. And they're not making it any easier at all. Let's not let up on the pressure, okay? Let's talk about health impacts, some of the statistics of tobacco products, all of that. Megan, how about when it comes to people that you deal with, when it comes to age categories, kids, you know, 40-year-old folks in their 80s, who's smoking out there?
You know, I think I might pass that on to Nicole because as a provider, she's the one that's seeing our patients firsthand.
Nicole?
Well, typically what I'm seeing as far as treatment is people who are more in the 30. It's really broad because almost every smoker wants to be a non-smoker. They just don't necessarily know the best way to get there. But I will see people as young as 18 up into their late 70s that say, I need to stop. I don't know that this is going to be something that I can do, but it's important to me and it's important to my health. I'd say it is more free. It's more frequent. I see people more frequently when they've experienced either a health concern themselves, or if they've seen a loved one who used tobacco have a health problem related to smoking.
Right. We're seeing all sorts of commercials on television where people that have had half their face removed because of whatever form of cancer that smoking has caused, you know, the hair loss because of cancer treatment, et cetera. Are those commercials having any kind of an impact at all? Are you seeing any you know, well, a good word. Are you seeing any impact at all from those commercials?
I would say I do see an impact from those commercials. And while they are dramatic, they're actually accurate. The statistic is that 50% of people who use tobacco as directed will die from tobacco-related causes.
Okay, this is not a secret. Why? And as you said, people want to quit. Smokers want to quit. Why can't they?
Nicotine is one of the most addictive substances there is that we expose ourselves to on a regular basis.
All right, and we were talking about this before we turned on the microphones and the fact that I just figured that a filtered cigarette was safer and quote-unquote better for you than a Pall Mall straight, right? But that is not the case at all.
Well, that's what the industry wants you to believe, and that's why they originally added that filter to that's also why they added, like, the light cigarette. The light cigarette doesn't actually have any less nicotine in it or isn't less bad for you. The filter doesn't add any type of
safety?
Yeah, exactly. They actually, when they added on the filter, they wanted to make sure that they were addressing getting that nicotine to your brain as fast as possible. So they in turn added more chemicals to the cigarette in order to ensure that you get that reaction in the brain, that satisfaction that makes you happy, that is so hard to kick.
Well, what are those chemicals? What's in a cigarette?
We know that there's a lot of toxins in cigarettes. There's formaldehyde. There's I can't even read it.
What are those long, deadly names?
It is, yeah. Metallic particles, acrolein, and, you know, it's not strictly the cigarette that has these chemicals. It's actually in the tobacco. They add it to the tobacco. These are additives that they put in. But the act of combustion, so the burning of the cigarette, mm-hmm. is part of the reason that they become so dangerous, because it releases the chemicals.
I think my favorite thing is when I get to go out in the community and talk to kids. When you talk to them, you're like, would you eat rat poisoning? Well, it's in a cigarette. Would you put that in your body? No. How about like a piece of metal, my wedding ring, some nickel, things like that? You know, would you eat that? And they're like, no, not at all. It's like, well, why would you smoke it then? Because ultimately that's what you're smoking, is those types of chemicals.
What kind of reaction do you get?
Yeah, to eating it?
Or just putting it in your body in general when you talk to these kids.
Right. Oh, they think it's insane. They think it's crazy. And I know we kind of put into more of the e-cigarette education with the kids. You know, we're seeing a lot more e-cigarette use within our youth. We see a lot of more of the tobacco use on the adult side, but within our youth, we're seeing e-cigarettes. 11th graders in Minnesota, 19.2 of them had tried e-cigarettes in the last 90 days when we did the Minnesota student survey most recently, which is a huge, scary number.
What was the number?
19.2% of Minnesota 11th graders had tried e-cigarettes in the last 90 days. Oh, I'm sorry, last 30 days. I stand corrected.
Ladies, I'd like to talk a little bit about the health impacts of tobacco products. Let's just kind of back up just a little bit.
Yeah.
If you could sit down and talk with the people that are starting to smoke before they ever have that first drag. Why is smoking so bad? What does it do?
It takes 4 seconds for the nicotine signal to hit your brain, and it activates the nicotine receptors in your brain, and they essentially bloom. So there becomes more of them. So it starts kind of a chain reaction. So these nicotine receptors are in your brain. They've bloomed, and then they all start to crave the nicotine, and it becomes so powerful. It changes your cells. It changes your brain response. It changes your entire life, because now you're looking for ways to get your next cigarette. How can I get out of what I'm doing in order to smoke? It takes you away from people who enjoy your company and want to be around you, especially if they're non-smokers, because you need to go other places to use those cigarettes. And it's so difficult to stop. It's so difficult to stop.
AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. We are talking about smoking. We are talking about you and your health. Nicole Zank is a tobacco treatment specialist. Megan Bone, a tobacco program manager with Population Health at CentraCare. We'll continue our conversation. How can you stop smoking? And what about those e-cigarettes? What's being done to hook our kids and our grown-ups? We'll get more information on this. We'll be right back. Your health on KNSI. AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI, back with more of your health. Nicole Zink is a tobacco treatment specialist. Megan Bone, a tobacco program manager with Population Health. When it comes to adults versus kids, what are the latest numbers out there?
I happened to look up the e-cigarette information this morning, and this was a survey that was just done last month. They interviewed 3,691 people, and they noticed that the rate of use in 18 to 24-year-olds was about 65%, which was much higher. The next demographic was about 62%, and then over 50 was less than 40%. They also noticed that people who had never smoked cigarettes were more likely to start using nicotine through an electronic device like an e-cig, and that women were also using e-cigs more often than men. Additionally, they found that 66% of the people who were using e-cigarettes were using flavored e-juice.
Well, there's also studies that show that when you use a menthol cigarette, it has kind of a cooling sensation to your throat, which makes the harsh flavor different, mm-hmm. but then also it adds another level of addiction, that you do get addicted not only to the nicotine, but also that cooling sensation.
You crave the cool, sure.
Yep, you, mm-hmm. exactly.
Isn't that the slogan?
I think so.
Yeah, crave the cool, yeah. It could be. It could very well be. That's my million-dollar idea right there. What about e-cigs. I'm amazed that we can have in 1964 a Surgeon General's warning that smoking is bad for you, and then 55 years later, we are trying to introduce additional tobacco products for people to use, kids to use, and we're giving them really cool names, Dragon's Breath, et cetera, et cetera. What's the story there?
Well, the FDA has actually called e-cig use in teens an epidemic, and that was in 2016.
It's just become more public now with our latest Surgeon General than it did in 2016.
What's in that stuff?
We actually don't really know. A lot of the studies that are coming out about e-cigarettes are actually not coming out of the United States. They're coming out of Europe. In the United States, they're actually not regulated at all, so anything could be put in there. The only regulations that they have is that they have to come in a child safety bottle so that it can't be easily opened by a child. And that only came into effect about 3 years ago in 2016. Well, it used to just be they could put them in any dropper they wanted.
Sure.
So you would just be able to like pop the top off and then you'd have a cool flavor like rainbow unicorn, you know, and then the kid would see it and find an interest. So we were experiencing some poisoning in young children due to that. But even now we're seeing poisoning to young children because of the nicotine overdoses. They can say that the products don't have nicotine in them, talking about the regulations, but what we found on studies that have been deemed as zero nicotine, they're still seeing levels of nicotine in them. They're just not disclosing that there are nicotine in there.
You know, it's really neat that the bathrooms in the high schools have gotten so nice and fruity smelling, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some districts.
That's an air freshener, right?
Well, some districts actually have locks on their bathroom doors and they're only allowed to go in at a certain time right now because the use in our schools has gotten so high. It's actually really scary.
It is not an air freshener, folks. I'm being somewhat facetious. It is not an air freshener. It's e-cigs.
And be suspicious if your child comes home with a bunch of scented candles. They may be
maybe experimenting
using that to cover up the scent of.
Oh, I just love them, Mom, Dad. Mm-hmm. I just love the smell of this pine scented candle or whatever. You know, I hate to undercut our kids because they are just kids. They are so trusting, right? So gullible, so naive that nobody would ever do something like this to intentionally hurt me. But that's exactly what's going on.
I think part of the problem is too that there's no immediate health risk when you're. I don't mean that there is no risk. It's not evident. You don't see anything bad happening when you start using.
Okay, so the first time I tried to smoke a cigarette, right, it was a Salem. I puked. Right, that does not happen when you're vaping.
It could still happen if the nicotine level's high enough.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, it's a lovely fruity flavor, and the kids are just.
Well, they're super customizable. It's an electronic device. It's very techy. You can get very small ones. They're easy to hide and hard to detect. They look like USB drives. Everybody wants to get away with something
sure,
when they're a teen.
Sure. Yeah, exactly right. Pull the wool over mom and dad's eyes. It's the sport of teens, there's no doubt. So again, how serious is the use of vaping and e-cigarettes when it comes to our kids?
A lot of times what we're finding is that and it's changing up. With the Juul is actually not a vape liquid. It's actually called an e-salt. So it's a different item of nicotine that's being exposed, where in a lot of the e-pens and mods, you can kind of mix different things to put in there or whatever, and they're putting more than just nicotine in them as well, which is another issue. But within the Juuls and the Sorens, they have a cartridge that comes in that is most cartridges are equivalent to, I can't remember, is it one pack of cigarettes?
Mm-hmm.
And some of these kids are going through one or two cartridges a day.
Okay.
So that level of nicotine is highly dangerous, but it's also not as designed to reach the brain as quickly as what a cigarette is. So we're seeing this as kind of an entry level to tobacco use. So how they're saying adults use e-cigarettes to quit, what we're seeing here is kids are using e-cigarettes to start.
Okay, what about the impact of a child in school that is, vaping or whatever, when it comes to concentration and ability to think and reason and take a test and learn?
Well, if they're going through nicotine withdrawal, they're going to have a big problem trying to concentrate on a test because they are not going to be able to focus on anything except that desire to fill those nicotine receptors again.
Is nicotine withdrawal the same as, golly, I need a cigarette?
Yeah, that's nicotine.
That's it right there.
Yep.
Okay.
So feeling jittery, feeling on edge, being irritable. Sometimes people will get headaches. Just you don't feel good.
Hard to take a test if you're feeling that way. Hard to concentrate. Hard to learn. AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. Megan Bone is a tobacco program manager with Population Health at CenterCare. Nicole Zenk, a tobacco treatment specialist. She is up next. We're going to talk about ways that you can stop smoking. Nobody likes a quitter, so we're going to stop smoking instead. AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. You are listening to Your Health. We'll be right back. AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. Your Health with Nicole Zenk and Megan Bowen. We're talking about cigarettes. We're talking about e-cigarettes, the impact on our kids and on us grown-ups. Important question, Nicole, as a tobacco treatment specialist, what can people do to stop smoking?
Come and see me. It's highly customizable. There's no right or wrong way to become tobacco-free, and it's really a journey. It's an individualized journey.
You're not going to tie me down in a chair, beat me with a rubber hose, tell me how awful I am?
No, I'm not even going to yell at you. I won't.
She won't even tell you that the day you come in to see her is the day that you quit, because there's a lot of prep that needs to lead up to that day of working together to get there.
Well, let's talk about that. What kind of prep?
Well, we want to talk about things that we can do to change up your daily routine so that the focus is not on when am I getting my next cigarette. We want to talk about things we need to do to modify your lifestyle and get rid of things that you don't need anymore because you're not going to be a smoker, like ashtrays and lighters, cleaning out your vehicle and making that a smoke-free zone. There's steps that we take to start to reduce our use before we actually make that step to tobacco freedom. The other thing we'll do is we will discuss the different types of treatment aids that we can use to help you become tobacco-free.
Yeah, what's available out there?
There's a couple different options. People are very very familiar with nicotine patches and nicotine gum. There's nicotine lozenges. Those can be used and can be very effective. Every once in a while, you get a unicorn who will go cold turkey and be successful at being tobacco free.
Pretty few and far between, though, huh?
It's very rare and it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Usually, I'll hear people say, "Well, I tried to quit cold turkey," and I said, "Well, how long did that last you?" And they say, "About 2 or 3 days."
Yeah.
It's very difficult, but it can be done. And then there's medication options as well that we utilize. Most frequently, people have heard of a medication called Chantix, mm-hmm. which was specifically designed to help people become tobacco-free. It's a little unique in that it doesn't interact with any other medications, which is almost unheard of. It's kind of a bait and switch. It fills the nicotine receptors in your brain. So we bait those nicotine receptors by having you start Chantix, and then about a week into utilizing Chantix, you stop smoking, but people will often notice that they have less desire to smoke as that week is progressing. Their cigarettes don't taste as well as they used to. They're not really doing anything for them anymore, and that's because we're filling your nicotine receptors with the Chantix instead, which does not cause cancer, does not affect your lungs.
What are some of the other, I guess, personality-type side effects that someone who is trying to stop smoking can expect? Crabbiness?
Crabbiness is very common, but that can be dealt with too through coming up with strategies to work with the cravings and ride through them. There's support groups that people can be a part of. Utilizing nicotine replacement therapy can go a long way, which would be like the gum, the lozenges, the patches. There's also a nicotine nasal spray and an inhaler that are available through prescription.
A buddy.
And that's part of our visit, is that we review the different strategies to overcome some of the challenges.
If people want more information, Megan Bone, tobacco program manager with Population Health, you could do a presentation for a local group, correct?
Absolutely. We have all of our tobacco treatment specialists are listed on our website at centricare.com. if you want to schedule an appointment with a tobacco treatment specialist, you can call CentraCare Connect at 320-200-3200. We do have specialists across central Minnesota, so from Painesville to Long Prairie to here in St. Cloud to Big Lake. They're available to meet with patients when they decide that they're ready. Ultimately, we just want folks to know that we know that it's hard. If you're even thinking about quitting, that's a good time to talk to a tobacco treatment specialist. You know, you might not be ready there quite yet, but coming in and having a conversation with one of our specialists and working with them to help move you in that direction. There's so many different combinations of ways to quit, whether it be kind of a fade out where you are reducing for up to 6 months. That might be your goal is to be quit by the end of the year. You know, everybody's goals are different. And so I think the important thing to know about the tobacco treatment program is that it's very individualized. It's very geared towards you, uses both a combination of counseling and medication, which gives you an 83% increase in becoming tobacco free than trying to go on your own using hypnotherapy, or even just using counseling or medication on its own. So that combination is kind of that sweet spot for quitting of both medication and counseling. And that's what our tobacco treatment specialists work with you on.
All right, Nicole, if folks want to, again, reach out to a tobacco treatment specialist, what's that phone number?
320-200-3200. You'll be connected with someone who can set you up with a tobacco treatment specialist in your area.
Ladies, thank you so much for the work that you do. It's very, very important, very, very impactful. You're saving people.
It's our goal.
That's right. Thank you again for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Nicole Zink, Megan Bowen, AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. You have been listening to Your Health.